The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The following program was pre-recorded, and the views expressed do not necessarily represent those of this station or its management.
Stand by for the Northern Alliance Radio Network. And go launch sequence. Engineering?
Go flight.
Master control?
Go flight.
Studio engineer?
Go flight.
We are go for launch in T-minus 3, 2, 1. We have liftoff.
The Northern Alliance Radio Network is on the air, live and local from the AM 1280 The Patriot Studios in Eagan. Here is the closer, Brad Carlson.
AM 1280 The Patriot. Northern Alliance Radio Network. Back with hour number two of the broadcast we like to call the closer. That's me, Brad Carlson. Thanks as always for tuning into our show. Yes, we are having original programming here on Easter Sunday. Thank you so much for tuning in to the show. Follow us along on Twitter. Just use hashtag NARNshow. That's hashtag NARNshow for comments or questions. And by the way, I haven't mentioned our Facebook page. If you haven't followed or liked our Facebook page, why the heck not? Go to Facebook, do a search for the Northern Alliance Radio Network, and give us a like or a follow if you haven't done so already. And as always, we appreciate tuning in. And by the way, folks, I haven't said anything as yet. This Saturday, April 6th, is the Northern Alliance Radio Network's 20th anniversary party. It's going to be taking place at the Exchange in New Brighton. A few weeks ago, I posted the event on the Northern Alliance Radio Network Facebook page. So if you go to the Northern Alliance Radio Network Facebook page, just scroll down to a couple, 3 weeks ago, you can find the event. And if you're interested in coming, hey, feel free to let us know. We'd like to let the bar know, kind of give them a heads up as how many are going to be coming on out. For years and years, Mitch has been trying to put together a 10th anniversary party, and we're just going to fuse the 10th anniversary party with the 20th anniversary party. So we finally are getting it on the books, the 10th anniversary party. It's just going to be part of the 20th anniversary party. So we hope you will join us. Yeah, it was March 6, 2004, when the Northern Alliance Radio Network went on the air for the very first time. And we've been going 20 years strong, and nothing is slowing us down, and no stop signs in front of us yet. And again, it's due to you, the listeners, who keep coming back, keep supporting our broadcast, our endeavor. And we thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Because again, a radio show isn't successful without listeners. I think that goes without saying. That's an obvious point, but I'm going to tell you anyways, thank you from the bottom of my heart. I really mean it. So with that, I want to address some more of the news items from this past week. I couldn't help but think that the juxtaposition between Trump and Biden this past week kind of reminded me of something that happened in 2016, and I'll explain that in a little bit. But first, yeah, like I say, I want to go back to 2016. It was late August of 2016 when Donald Trump, obviously the Republican presidential candidate, he toured the state of Louisiana, who had just gone through a pretty severe hurricane. And after witnessing the thorough destruction this storm had caused, Trump donated money out of his own pocket. I think it was like close to $100,000 and a truckload of supplies to residents in an effort to help in the region's recovery. And I remember throughout that summer, I was bullish on how I was not going to vote for Donald Trump. The way he was conducting himself, I thought his presidency would be a raging garbage fire. And I turned out to be pretty much right. But he did some good things. I will give credit where credit is due. I've gone over it many times on this show. I've been fair to Trump when he had policy successes in his administration. I lauded them. I did. Okay, it's just if I had to give an overall grade, I think there was, in my opinion, and I know a lot of you listeners agree with me because I get your emails, I get your direct messages on Facebook, I even get phone calls at the station. You disagree with me when I say that it was more bad than good. But again, we're all entitled to our opinion. So my point is that this was something that made me think, you know, Trump might actually pull this off. And of course, about a month later or so, the infamous Access Hollywood tape came out where he talked about grabbing a woman by you know where. Okay. And I thought he was cooked. But that's how bad, how awful Hillary Clinton was. But again, we don't need to relitigate that. My point is after what happened last week, there was a certain incident that happened last week that reminded me of this situation in 2016, where Trump went down to Louisiana. He donated like $100,000 and also had a truckload of supplies delivered, you know, just basic essentials to help the region recover. And there was even a photo of Trump himself among all of the volunteers unloading this truck full of supplies. And of course, the supporters of his opponent, Hillary Clinton, dismissed it as opportunism. Ah, it's just a cheap campaign photo op, whatever else. Donald Trump, we know that he doesn't have an ounce of empathy in his whole body. It's just opportunism. And I remember thinking at that time, it's like, you know, it almost sounds like a protesteth too much, methinks, because they wouldn't be protesting that vehemently of Trump doing this if Hillary Clinton were actually there. But because Louisiana was not going to vote for a Democrat for president, Hillary Clinton had to go to the key swing states and was nowhere to be found. In fact, there was a Washington Post article, I went and found it, August of 2016, about Trump donating a truckload of supplies in Louisiana and writing a $100,000 check. Washington Post actually wrote about it. Now, they fact-checked it to the hilt because they desperately, desperately wanted it to be wrong. So, of course, they were issuing a lot of caveats and disclaimers with all that, but they begrudgingly acknowledged that, yeah, Trump did all this. And there was not one mention of Hillary Clinton's name in that Washington Post story in 2016. Not one mention. Because if they were going to mention her, it would have been within the context of how she was conspicuously absent. And because the Washington Post is basically an arm of the Democrat Party, they couldn't do that. So I bring all this up to say that it wasn't lost on the American people that Mrs. Clinton herself was conspicuously absent, where Trump not only wrote a check, donated supplies, and people could have dismissed that, say, wow, he's a rich guy. He's one of these elitist rich guys. Of course he can do that. You know, let's see him put his money where his mouth is and actually be there on the ground. And he was. So all of the criticisms they normally would have levied against a Republican, they couldn't in this situation. Now, why do I bring that up? Well, fast forward to this past Thursday, when former President Trump was invited to New York to attend the wake of Jonathan Diller. Jonathan Diller, of course, the 31-year-old member of the New York Police Department who was killed in the line of duty. And he was killed by someone who, my understanding, has had a rap sheet a mile long and seemed to have benefited by some of the lax criminal legislation that's been passed in New York. So much so that when Governor Kathy Hochul attended the wake, she was basically got a very frosty reception and ended up hitting the bricks because they didn't want her there because of the policies of her and her party. It directly or indirectly led to this happening because you had this career criminal that was suddenly able to be back on the streets and then kills this officer. So, again, fast forward, Thursday this past week, Trump invited to the wake of Jonathan Diller. And what was the White House's current occupant up to that very evening, Thursday evening, in basically the same area, in this case, Manhattan? What was Joe Biden doing? Well, I'll read you a story from CBS News. President Biden participated in a star-studded fundraiser with former Democratic presidents Barack Obama and Bill Clinton on Thursday in New York City in an event expected to raise more than $25 million for the president's reelection campaign. So you have Donald Trump, who was cordially invited to attend the wake of a slain NYPD officer and attending that wake. And on the other end of the spectrum, you have the sitting president goes to Manhattan where traffic is already bad enough and then makes it even more snarly because, of course, when you have a president visiting, you have to do a lot of vetting and ensure that he can arrive safely in his motorcade and whatever else. So that disrupts the city even further. All to raise $25 million at the star-studded fundraiser. And I'll continue reading from the CBS News piece. Thursday's New York City fundraiser at Radio City Music Hall was hosted by actress Mindy Kaling and featured performances by several musical guests and artists, including Queen Latifah, Lizzo, Ben Platt, Cynthia Erivo, and Lea Michele. The event was capped off with a nearly hour-long discussion between Mr. Biden, Obama, and Clinton, moderated by The Late Show host Stephen Colbert. Making even a more stark contrast, while Donald Trump is attending the wake of a slain New York City police officer, I wonder how many of those celebrities I named support some sort of defund the police initiative. Look, I get it. I get it. We're a little more than 7 months away from Election Day, so that's an eternity in politics where things can happen so quickly. I mean, we're just seemingly outraged day to day by different things. So I get it. A lot can happen over the next 7+ months. But what we can't get away from, and I think what was further emphasized with this situation, is how Biden ran in 2020 on restoring decency and compassion. You know, and it flies in the face of Trump because, you know, Trump, the way he operated in his presidential administration, how he was very liberal with the insults toward media members and people that were his political opposites. OK, where's Joe Biden come in? Well, Joe Biden had a stutter when he was a kid and he put his arm around a little boy who also had a stutter. What a compassionate man. Except they conveniently don't point out how Joe Biden called someone fat, a voter fat. Listen, fat. Remember that one? Hey, listen, fat. When this guy questioned Joe Biden and some of his business dealings with his son. But he's compassionate. But again, we can't get around the fact that Biden ran on that. He ran on restoring decency and compassion. But my estimation, he's failed to deliver on that campaign pledge. I mean, go down the list. He took more than a year to visit East Palestine, Ohio, in the aftermath of a severe train derailment that basically resulted in a lot of the water supply being poisoned. And when he finally got there, people say, that was over a year ago, too little, too late. But he was good to go to get to Maui right away. Remember that awful tragic fire in Maui that killed several people and basically decimated the island? He did get to Maui right away, but then bizarrely inserted himself in the situation by fabricating a story about a kitchen fire because, you know, a fire in your kitchen is on par with a fire decimating almost an entire island, right? And destroying people's homes and livelihoods. Yeah, that's on par. Or at his State of the Union address where he butchered the name of murdered college student Lakin Riley by calling her Lincoln Riley, and some sports fans got confused, like, wait, the head of the USC men's football team was killed? What? But the only time he expressed regret was he described her killer as an illegal immigrant. Oh, well, that's beyond the pale, okay? So, meanwhile, you have a presidential candidate, Joe Biden, 2020, runs on restoring decency and compassion, shows anything but. And meanwhile, this campaign, the juxtaposition, you have Joe Biden at a ritzy fundraiser raising $25 million, where you have Donald Trump attending the wake of a slain New York City police officer. So Trump is making inroads with Americans who are feeling marginalized, much like he did in 2016. Do we remember how that election turned out? No, I'm not here to suggest that Trump is 100% genuinely compassionate figure. Okay. As you all know, I've had a lot of my criticisms of Trump. But I'm guessing, just a guess, that people will accept his goodwill, whether it's contrived or not, over someone who claims to have empathy, but actually shows the exact opposite. So these distinctions will continue to be drawn, I'm guessing, over the next 7 months. Brad Carlson, the closer, with a special Easter edition of the Northern Alliance Radio Network, back in mere moments. Go nowhere.
If I can reach the stars, pull one down for you.
Hey, welcome back. AM 1280 The Patriot, Northern Alliance Radio Network.
Wait until I saw the sun.
It is a special Easter edition of the Northern Alliance Radio Network.
Don't know why I didn't.
It's me, Brad Carlson. Feel free to weigh in on the broadcast via Twitter. Hashtag NARN Show. That's hashtag N-A-R-N Show if you'd like to weigh in via Twitter. And give us a follow or like on our Northern Alliance Radio Network Facebook page if you haven't done so already. And as always, we thank you for tuning in. You know, it's the Easter holiday, and of course, we talk about, I would argue, probably one of the most consequential events in world history, the crucifixion and subsequent resurrection of Jesus Christ. But we're learning in this day and age how clinging to these deeply held beliefs is going to demand eternal vigilance. Now, I've talked about this past couple of shows, couple of weeks on this broadcast, about how the DFL is showing hostility toward toward the religious community in their Minnesota Human Rights Act, which they passed last year. And there was always an exception made, you know, for people practicing their deeply held beliefs, their faith, their religion, particularly churches not being forced to officiate gay weddings or host gay weddings because it flies in the face of their deeply held beliefs. Yeah, gay marriage is the law of the land. I get that. But the religious community can't be forced by the government to hold basically a ceremony that flies in the face of their beliefs. Well, the Minnesota legislature put in a new term in state law during last year's session, like I've called it, the buffet of lunacy. And that, of course, is over gender identity. And this is from a Alpha News story by Luke Sprinkle, talking about how Democrats are still refusing to take up a bill that would restore longstanding religious liberties. When Democrats introduced the term gender identity, state law was not adjusted to make sure religious institutions can still decline to hire someone whose gender identity is in opposition to the religious group's faith. On Monday, Representative Harry Niska, a Republican out of Ramsey and my personal representative, made a motion in the Minnesota House of Representatives to suspend the rules and take up House File 3926. Rep. Niska's bill, which has dozens of co-authors, would have remedied the situation by ensuring faith groups and institutions would not be forced to hire someone who holds opposing values. Until last year, everyone agreed that the government should not dictate religious doctrine to faith communities, Representative Niska said. But the changes to the Minnesota Human Rights Act last year, hopefully inadvertently, changed that. So Representative Niska he's more generous than I am. He's at least giving the benefit of the doubt. Hey, okay, look. It's probably an oversight. We get it. There's a lot of stuff flying around. We understand it. Here's my amendment to fix this, to remedy this. Just insert that into the Human Rights Act and we'll be good. We'll call it good and we're fine. Well, God bless you, Representative Niska. You seem to be showing these people a lot more latitude than I would have. Continuing with the Alpha News story, the majority leader of the Minnesota House of Representatives, Representative Jamie Long, a Democrat out of Minneapolis, made a motion to table House File 3926. By a vote of 67-56, Democrats tabled the bill and subsequently adjourned the Minnesota House of Representatives. In short, this means Representative Niska's bill was indefinitely set aside. By putting the issue on hold, Democrats continued to block the restoration of critical religious liberties. As a result, faith groups may be forced to either hire individuals who hold opposing antithetical views or face legal consequences. So, in other words, the state has said, look, according to our law that we passed, the Minnesota Human Rights Act, gender identity is whatever an individual decides that they want to be. Whether it's binary, non-binary, whatever. Male, female, non-binary, pan, you know, preferred pronouns are zer, you know, whatever. And if they want to work at your institution, religious institution, you can't deny them the opportunity to work there because it flies in the face of your faith. Okay, that goes against state law. So in essence, you have a state establishing a religion. There really is no other way to look at this. They are establishing a statewide religion, basically saying that all faiths have to be unified in this aspect of state law, which is gender identity. You have to acquiesce to gender identity in the Minnesota Human Rights Act. And you cannot maintain your deeply held views that fly in the face of that. So the state is establishing a religion. This is a gross violation of the First Amendment of the Constitution. And people basically say as much, well, no, the state can't do that. That goes against the First Amendment. Yeah, but the problem is they'll go ahead and do it. And if certain religions sit there and take it and acquiesce to it, then all religions have to. And then you have to file a lawsuit. And how much money and time and resources will it take to file a lawsuit saying, hey, this state is trying to make us acquiesce to beliefs that we do not hold? That flies in the face of our faith, and that's a direct violation of the Free Exercise Clause. But that's kind of the goal, isn't it? To make it so churches don't resist. And Rob Ketterling, I just want to get his, Rob Ketterling, he's a senior pastor at River Valley Church. He put out a tweet thread a couple of weeks ago talking about this very thing. Basically saying that, hey, we will defy this vote believing it is unconstitutional. Sadly, we will have to challenge this in court all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court if necessary. Democrats have clearly shown a hostility to people of faith that believe in basic biology and deeply held religious beliefs. As we pursue freedom of religion, we, people of faith, will now have to work united to defeat any and all Democrats in Minnesota to simply restore moderation to Minnesota. The giant has awakened. And now, all of a sudden, You're getting to say, whoa. I always thought the church wasn't supposed to get political. You know, we're supposed to keep the church out of politics and politics out of church. And to which Pastor Ketterling replies, well, let me be clear. The church ain't getting political. Politics has become religious. So if y'all would have not tried to insert yourselves in our faith, where, here's the thing, we don't discriminate against anybody. If someone who identifies as part of the LGBTQ community, they're not denied entrance or access to be part of a church service at all. Churches are more tolerant than the government is, that's for dang sure. This underscores that. But therein lies the point. Churches allow people to come into their congregation even if there is a fundamental disagreement, but churches are going to lay out their deeply held beliefs, and it's like, here they are, and if you want to be part of our ministry, this is basically the statement of faith that you have to give. But if you don't want to be part of ministry, that's fine. You can continue to come here and attend church and take away from it what you want to, but these are our beliefs laid out for you to take in. And it's up to you to receive them, take them into your heart or not, but you're certainly welcome here. Can you imagine the veritable poop show if a church refused to allow people to sit in their congregation that were of the LGBTQ community? No. But the way Representative Lee Finke and others who are bigoted, and yeah, that's the term I'm using, bigoted against people of faith, you would think that's what was happening. That people are even being denied the opportunity to sit in pews when that's not the case. So I've said it many times. What was happening during this buffet of lunacy is they were going to throw as much against the wall and see what can stick. And their mindset is, well, they can't sue us for everything. Yeah, we'll undermine their First Amendment rights. Yeah, we'll undermine their Second Amendment rights. And while we're undermining their Second Amendment rights, that will also, by default, also impact their Fourth and Fifth Amendment rights. Okay? And we may eventually get these laws overturned, but if we keep them in place long enough, we could maybe affect permanent change where even if they win the lawsuit, it's too late to undo any of the changes that we make. See, that's their hope. Their thing is, well, they can't sue us for everything. And folks, this is where you need to remain united. We as a faith community need to be united. And you saw that with members of the Jewish faith, the Muslim faith, and the Christian faith. Faiths who respect each other's doctrines, but they don't really hang out a whole lot. But on this, yeah, you saw them testifying in unity about this. And that's where Representative Finke took her opportunity to take a swipe at the religious community. So this is something that we're going to stay on as long as it's in the news. And meanwhile, you have Minnesota Governor Tim Walz going all over the country taking a victory lap and saying, well, we're not banning books in Minnesota. We respect the First Amendment. He actually had the cojones to say that after something like this. Folks, I don't normally get too dramatic on this show. I kind of roll my eyes when people say, wake up, wake up. And I was like, whatever. But now, yeah, wake up. And I agree with Pastor Ketterling, a sleeping giant has indeed been awakened. Special Easter edition of the closer of the Northern Alliance Radio Network. It's me, Brad Carlson. Thank you for tuning in. Hopefully you are having a blessed Easter Sunday with your loved ones. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Back in mere moments with another segment on the broadcast. Go nowhere. Welcome back. AM 1280 The Patriot, Northern Alliance Radio Network with me, Brad Carlson. It is the special Easter edition of the Northern Alliance Radio Network with me, Brad Carlson. Thanks as always for tuning in. Again, feel free to weigh in via Twitter at hashtag NARN Show. That's hashtag NARN Show. My Redeemer does indeed live. And for that, we can rejoice and we commemorate this holiday celebrating the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yes, he does indeed live. He is risen. He is risen indeed. A lot of folks, of course, they commemorate this holiday. And I'll admit, I didn't grow up in a religious household, so I didn't really know the real meaning behind Easter until, maybe I was a preteen. You know, just for my teenage years. But, you know, of course, I always celebrated Easter. You know, there was an Easter bunny that brought eggs and candy in the middle of the night. And you go hunt for eggs and all that stuff. And when I got to learn the real meaning of Easter, I would think back. It's like, wait a minute. Where did all that eggs and candy and bunny, how does that symbolize the Easter holiday? I'm not really getting that. Well, Leave it to Jim Gaffigan to clear the air for us and give us more clarity on how Easter gained its tradition. Spencer, we have that ready. This is cut number two.
Easter, that's a weird tradition.
Easter, the day Jesus rose from the dead. What should we do?
How about eggs?
Well, what does that have to do with Jesus?
All right, we'll hide them.
I don't follow your logic.
Don't worry, there's a bunny.
Ridiculous.
All right, clear as mud, right? Always love that clip. That's a tradition on my show, my Easter show, that play Jim Gaffigan's clip there. But, you know, I did decide to do a little digging, and it seemed to me, I watch the History Channel once in a while, and there was an episode dedicated to Easter traditions and how it came about. So I decided to do some research. Now, for example, Easter eggs, according to history.com, you know, Easter is a religious holiday, but some of its customs, such as Easter eggs, are likely linked to pagan traditions. The egg, an ancient symbol of new life, has been associated with pagan festivals celebrating spring. From a Christian perspective, Easter eggs are said to represent Jesus' emergence from the tomb and resurrection. Decorating eggs for Easter is a tradition that dates back to at least the 13th century, according to some sources. One explanation for this custom is that eggs were formerly a forbidden food during Lent. So people would paint and decorate them to mark the end of the period of penance and fasting and then eat them on Easter as a celebration. And of course, Easter egg hunts and egg rolling are two popular egg-related traditions. In the U.S., the White House Easter egg roll, a race in which children push decorated hard-boiled eggs across the White House lawn, is an annual event held the Monday after Easter. And by the way, the first official White House egg roll, 1878, then President Rutherford B. Hayes. So I said, okay, where does the bunny come from? I'm not really understanding that one. Well, the Easter bunny, the Bible obviously makes no mention of a long-eared, short-tailed creature who delivers decorated eggs to well-behaved children on Easter Sunday. Nevertheless, the Easter bunny has become a prominent symbol of Christianity's most important holiday. The exact origins of this mythical mammal are unclear, but rabbits, known to be prolific procreators, are an ancient symbol of fertility and new life. According to some sources, the Easter Bunny first arrived in America in the 1700s with German immigrants who settled in Pennsylvania and transported their tradition of an egg-laying hare called Osterhaus or Osterhaus. Their children made nests in which this creature could lay its colored eggs. Eventually, the custom spread across the United States, and the fabled rabbit's Easter morning deliveries expanded to include chocolate and other types of candy and gifts, while decorated baskets replaced nests. Additionally, children often left out carrots for the bunny in case he got hungry from all his hopping. Ah, hey, you know what? In all seriousness, that's kind of a wonderful lesson for parents to teach their kids, you know, lesson of compassion. Hey, you know, the Easter bunny, he probably gets a little hungry from all this hopping around. Why don't you leave him some carrots, you know, a little sustenance for him? So, hey, in all seriousness, that's a wonderful show of compassion, in my opinion. So, Jim Gaffigan asked the questions and answered them. I thought I would expand a little bit. Again, this was a episode of the History Channel. I don't know if the History Channel will be replaying this episode this Easter weekend. I imagine they might. But, you know, that might be fun to kind of check out, give kind of a broader overview of how that one came about. So I'll tell you what, Spencer, why don't we take an early break here, because I want to have a little longer time to expand on the real meaning of the Easter holiday. That, of course, is the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we'll be back with one final segment. Again, it's the Easter edition of The Closer on the Northern Alliance Radio Network. Feel free to follow us along on Twitter, hashtag Narn Show. That's hashtag N-A-R-N Show. Check out my blog at bradcarlson.org. And give the Northern Alliance Radio Network page a like or a follow if you haven't done so already. Back with one final segment on the broadcast. Go nowhere.
On a little donkey, 2,000 years ago. Christ rode into Jerusalem so all the world would know he was fulfilling prophecy. And everyone could.
You called me from the grave by name.
AM 1280 The Patriot.
You called me out of all my shame.
Northern Alliance Radio Network with me, Brad Carlson.
I see the old is passed away.
It is the Easter edition of The Closer. That's me, the aforementioned Brad Carlson. Thanks for tuning in. Yes, he is risen. He is risen indeed. Commemorating the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, on this Easter Sunday. Again, hope you are having a blessed Easter Sunday with your loved ones. You know, we've talked a little bit about Easter in the last segment, kind of the lighthearted look at how some of these traditions like Easter candy, Easter eggs, and the Easter bunny came about. But we're here this final segment to really tell you what the holiday is all about. And that is, of course, Jesus laying down his life for us so that we have a chance for eternity in heaven. And there's nothing we can do to earn that. And one of the clips that has most impacted me, one of the most impactful clips since I've been a believer almost 40 years now, was a clip I found a few years ago. Alistair Begg, he is of Scottish descent, if you're wondering where the accent comes from, that you'll hear in a little bit. He's a senior pastor of Cleveland's Parkside Church and has been pastor there for a little over 40 years. He was preaching a sermon and talked about, of course, the thief on the cross, because there were two other men beside Jesus that were crucified, and how the thief on the cross, despite his life and all of his sins and whatever else, was somehow gained entrance into heaven. And the way Pastor Begg shared the story and talked about it, it kind of really put perspective on how we Christians, some of us view, and again, I've been guilty of it myself, we view our faith as sort of transactional, where if we do this, we check this box, okay, we go to a Bible study every week, check, we give of our first fruits to the church, check. You know, we think if we just check the boxes that gains entrance in, and we really don't have to do much else. And the way Pastor Begg puts it into perspective, for me, it opened up a whole new mindset for me. And again, this is someone who's been part of the faith for more than three decades, almost four decades now. So Spencer, if we have this, it's cut number three. This is Alistair Begg. It's about 3.5 minutes long, but I'll just let it speak for itself.
Without the preaching of the cross, without preaching the cross to ourselves all day and every day, we will very, very quickly revert to faith plus works as the ground of our salvation. So that, to go to the old Fort Lauderdale question, if you were to die tonight and you were getting entry into heaven, what would you say? If you answer that, and if I answer it in the first person, we've immediately gone wrong. Because I believed, because I have faith, because I am this, because I am continuing. Loved ones, the only proper answer is in the third person, because he. And think about the thief on the cross. What an immense, I can't wait to find that fellow one day to ask him, how did that shake out for you? Because you were cussing the guy out with your friend. You've never been in a Bible study. You never got baptized. You didn't know a thing about church membership. And yet you made it. You made it. How did you make it? That's what the angel must have said, you know, like, what are you doing here? Well, I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? Well, because I don't know. Well, you know, excuse me, let me get my supervisor. They go get the supervisor in. So, wait, just a few questions for you. First of all, are you clear on the doctrine of justification by faith? Guy said, I never heard of it in my life. And what about, let's just go to the doctrine of Scripture immediately. This guy's just staring. And eventually in frustration, he says, on what basis are you here? And he said, the man on the middle cross said, I can come. Now, that is the only answer. That is the only answer. And if I don't preach the gospel to myself all day and every day, then I will find myself beginning to trust myself, trust my experience, which is part of my fallenness as a man. If I take my eyes off the cross, I can then give only lip service to its efficacy, while at the same time living as if my salvation depends upon me. And as soon as you go there, it will lead you either to abject despair or a horrible kind of arrogance. And it is only the cross of Christ that deals both with the dreadful depths of despair and the pretentious arrogance of the pride of man that says, you know, I can figure this out and I'm doing wonderfully well. No, because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free for God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. That's why Luther says, most of your Christian life is outside of you, in this sense that we know that we're not saved by good works. We're not saved as a result of our professions, but we're saved as a result of what Christ has achieved.
Man, it kind of says it all, doesn't it? Absolutely incredible. I've heard that I don't know how many times, and I still just give it my undivided attention every time it comes up. I mean, you think about why we do things the way we do. You know, Pastor Begg talked about, you know, sometimes we get caught up in the faith without works is dead, and so we concentrate on the works, and it's the works in addition to our faith that's going to get us into heaven. And there we're talking in the first person again. I got here because of what I did. And it's so much further beyond that. Why do we do things the way we do? You know, why do we have Bible studies? You know, why do we invite people to church? You know, why do we give of the first fruits? You know, it talks about the first, you know, the tithe, the first 10% you give to the church. And people do that and they hear that and they check the boxes. Okay, I invited someone to come to church this Easter Sunday, and I dropped a check, 10% of my earnings into the collection box, collection plate check. And I hold a Bible study. I host a connect group in my home where I make my home all warm and inviting and uplift people. Boy, I'm on a roll. Look at all the great things I'm doing. Boy, how they're going to celebrate me when I get to the pearly gates. And those aren't bad things. And I dare say those are all things you absolutely should do. But the question is, why are you doing them? Is it just to check a box to get yourself to glory and just to, in the meantime, muddle your way through life? And again, I'm talking to myself here. I'm not casting aspersions on anybody out there. I'm not being critical of it. I'm talking to myself here because I take inventory of my own faith journey. It's like, why am I doing this? Why am I doing these things? Is it because I'm trying to check a box? And maybe at first I have it in the back of my mind, it's kind of a transactional thing. But what I realize is I am so eternally grateful for what God has done for us, for he so loved the world that he gave of his only son, that who believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. The fact that he gave that to me, a sinner, and I know some of the awful things I did as a younger person, that the enemy tries to use against me. And I beat back at him by saying, he's made me more than a conqueror. For God did not come to condemn the world, but save it through his son, the giving of his only son, as Pastor Begg talked about, a sinless being took our place. I mean, if you think of it in that perspective, you're thankful. And you do all these things like give of your resources to enhance the church or hold a Bible study to talk about the good news or invite someone to church because you want other people to experience that, what you're experiencing. I mean, if you're experiencing something unbelievably great in your life, don't you want other people to know about it? Because you want other people to have that same joy and peace and tranquility, a peace that transcends all understanding. Don't you want that? I want that for other people. And that's why when I heard Pastor Begg, it was a paradigm shift. When I'm doing all these things that I mentioned, these works, I'm doing it because I want others to have that joy unspeakable and full of glory. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Crucified at the cross, and the tomb is empty. And for that, we can rejoice. Folks, I hope you have a blessed Easter. I love you all. And Jesus is our Lord and Savior. And enjoy that, and just indulge in that joy unspeakable, a peace that transcends all understanding. God bless you all. Talk to you next week.
General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.